for your goodness, your mercy, for your long suffering. I want to thank you for the Spirit that brings reconciliation and resurrection.
Hallelujah!
We want to thank you, Father, for your presence. Father, what you are starting this weekend, we're asking that you might continue it. That the inertia, Father, that has been granted to us will be something that will we carry out of this place to give us the ability to move forward and to move beyond that which we would even expect to move. Father, we are looking to you for your goodness, for your grace, for the mercy that you are pouring out upon us even at this particular time. The resurrection life, Father, that you are giving us. The energization, my God, of our being. The charge that comes out of heaven, my God, to energize the life of God that is within us. We thank you for it this evening, Lord. We ask that you continue and that you might have preeminence in our thinking, preeminence in our emotions, preeminence in every aspect of our soul. Father, we commit ourselves unto you this evening as offerings. May they be acceptable and may they be a pleasant smell in thy nostrils, O God, that they might be an accepted offering unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say
amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't the presence of God sweet? So refreshing, huh? I guess we could just go home now, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, for me personally, today has been a tremendous day. I have been sitting there listening to the Word of God as it has been flowing. And there's been such a continuous dialogue coming from the heavens. Word of God coming into my soul, coming into my mind. Not so much for me to share with you, but things that pertain to the calling and the election and the position or the place or the things in my own life that God wants to adjust or to eradicate. Hallelujah. It's been a tremendous time, and there's so many thoughts, so many different impressions that God is leaving on my mind. And it's difficult to kind of sort through them and get a hold of what it is that I feel the Lord would want me to share with you this evening. And you know, it is really more for my benefit than it is for yours. Because the Lord called me many years ago, I won't tell you how many, but many years ago the Lord called me and he said to me, he says, if you will go, if you will open your mouth, I will fill it. And there's only been one occasion that I can remember years ago in Germany when that did not work. Praise God. And it did not work because I disobeyed God. Hallelujah. And so it taught me a valuable lesson. That if I am going to get up, I better be sure that it's the Spirit of God that is telling me to do it. Hallelujah. Because I'll get up here and make a fool out of myself. And embarrass me, my wife probably, and maybe confirm to all of you that I am totally crazy. I don't know. Praise God. But there is so much that God is putting out on the table for us as a people. And you know, I suppose world events and the things that are happening with Israel, they're all things, they're all signs that bring to me some reality of the time frame that we are living in. But you know, that is not the thing that I am looking at. That is not the thing that really encourages me that we are living in the end time. That is not the thing that brings to me the assurance, that gives me the confidence to tell you we are in that time frame of the end of the end. What brings me that confidence? What brings me that awareness is the revelation that God is bringing out in His Word. Did you hear me? There are certain things that God said would be hid and would not be revealed until the end time. And it's not as though we are coming or anyone that comes and brings to you a clarity of understanding concerning a particular word that you might have heard for years. Hallelujah. The basis of what we have heard over the years has been the foundation that God has been laying, so that in the end time, as the Spirit of God began to move with the people who were committed to the Word that was delivered to us by Brother Duciel and others that would come sharing and bearing the same message, that God could begin to expand it. And when God brought Brother Duciel here, He brought him for the specific purpose of delivering the food. Yes. Hallelujah. To the kitchen. Amen. Hallelujah. And we all, in some manner or in some way, are a part and a piece of that kitchen. We have an operation. We have a job. We have a position of responsibility. And you know, I've had experience of working in a kitchen on a commercial way, and you don't just bring raw food in, put it on a plate, and bring it out there and deliver it to a person. There are things that have to be done to it. And you know, sometimes food takes on a look that is absolutely so beautiful, it disguises itself as not being food at all. Hallelujah. And though it looks as, and it tastes as good as it looks, hallelujah. And so there is the things that cooks can do to food. Good cooks. Hallelujah. Well, even bad cooks. of which I am number one. I think I am the only one that can burn water. Literally burn water. You know how you burn water? Huh? You leave the pot on the stove and it runs dry. Praise the Lord. My wife comes in and says, how long has this thing been on the stove? I says, it is empty. Hallelujah. But God in this hour is expanding the revelation, the understanding, and what that expansion is doing is bringing to me an understanding of the time frame that we live in. Hallelujah. Some of the things that are happening and some of the words that are coming are so simple. Can there be anything more simple than the drawing that Brother Mark had on the board this morning? Hallelujah. Very simple, very, very concise, and yet so profound in that it defines for you and I the position or the place or the categories or the things that we have to deal with. Amen. Hallelujah. And the battlefield that we are now fighting on is not the physical realm. Well, some of you may be dealing with the baser things. But the thing that most of you who have had this word and have been chewing on it and who have said they wanted to be a part of the kingdom, it is not so much a battle of flesh as it is a battle of mind. Amen. The profusion of the bombardment, hallelujah, of the, you know, I always say incoming, You know, we had that expression in the army, and when you were out in the field of battle and things would start happening, they would start lobbing mortars in. You would hear the siren and somebody screaming, "Income!" And everybody would die for the ground. Hallelujah. Well, we have a constant barrage. We have a constant barrage of incoming thoughts in any and every area that you can possibly think of. Things that you and I may have thought were dealt with. Things that you and I may have thought were under the blood. Things that we haven't had to deal with for years. All of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes a particular thought and your mind begins to run in a particular direction. Hallelujah. And it's like in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I said, I guess it was Friday night, I said that the Lord had spoke to me that we had the coming upside down. There were certain events that had to transpire. One of the events was the coming of John. But brethren, I believe that we have moved beyond that time frame. Hallelujah. And there was a particular message that God has given me for the last 4 or 5 years that I have been running back and forth across the world delivering this message of repentance and turning the hearts of the Father to the children and the children to the Father. But that message is changing. Hallelujah. And it's not that my message is changing. Do you understand? I'm telling you that in the time frame of God, God's clock is ticking on regardless of where we are or what we are doing or what we have done or what we have not done. God's clock is ticking along. And we're coming to that time frame of the call that the bridegroom comes. But one of the events that happened with Jesus Christ, hallelujah, first he was baptized, the Spirit of God fell on him, hallelujah, and there was a proclamation, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Immediately after that time frame, he was driven into the desert. Yes. Hello? Driven into the desert. And there he was tempted of the devil. Hallelujah. It says that he was there in that place fasting and praying for 40 days. Hallelujah. My goodness. Now, you know, we're given a segment of thought or our content. We are told of certain incidences where Jesus was taken up on the pinnacle or where he was told to make the bread into the stone into bread. We are not told the mechanics of it. You understand? We're not told of the fight that was going on in his human soul. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, our position, our place, our wilderness is in the aspect of the battle that is going on concerning the mindset that we have concerning our position of humanity. Regardless of whether it's American, German, English, Swedish, Nigerian, no matter what it may be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them. Please. Hallelujah. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. And I want you to go to the 9th chapter if you would. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to, before I read that, I want to see if I have it here. I want to read something to you. All right. right, I got to find it. Just bear with me, please. Well, I had it here earlier. There was a dream. I might have to have Sister Lucy come and share with you if I cannot find it. I put it on my computer somewhere. Huh? All right. Sister Lucy. By popular demand. I need you to share the dream about the first dream that you had.
Praise the Lord. A few weeks before coming to this meeting, I had a dream. And in that dream, it was like a hospital setting. And there was a child that was critically ill. And the doctors needed to be around the clock to keep the child alive. So the unit head was trying to insist on the senior doctors that they needed to sleep in the hospital. Normally, the senior doctors in the hospital don't sleep in. The junior ones sleep. But this time around, because of the state of the child, they wanted all the doctors to sleep in. But the senior doctors didn't want to sleep in, so they were all grumbling. So while they were grumbling and insisting that they won't sleep in, the head of department came around and gave an order that all the doctors must sleep in. So he said that and walked away. And they started complaining and grumbling again that they won't sleep. So I came in and said, well, we can strike a compromise. You don't have to sleep. What we should do is each senior doctor can take 2 hours. Stay for 2 hours, hand over to the next person and you can go home. Then the next person will watch for 2 hours and go home like that. So we'll cover the 24 hours. You don't have to sleep in. And they were all very happy. So when I said that and they were happy, God was speaking to me that if you do that, you have not obeyed the instruction of the head of department, and that this is what we do to his word, that we pick and choose at his word. We obey when it is convenient for us, and we disobey. We don't obey when it is not convenient. That we need to obey the totality of his word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The dream in itself is fairly explanatory. The child being the work of God, the move of God, the being the man-child, the revelation that we have concerning the end time, in a position concerning its condition is critical. Hallelujah. It's not going to be something that is going to take a quick fix, or something that we try to jury-rig to try to fix it. And if we want to fix it, it's going to require of us a total commitment to the fixing of it. Are you following me? Can you say amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. One of the maladies of the end time church, the holy place church, and this is what the Lord is dealing with. He's dealing with the holy place church. And one of the things that the holy place church has to overcome is the denominational church mentality, the church system of which we have come out of. Hallelujah. And we as a people, though we have a particular revelation, and we may have somewhat of an understanding concerning that revelation, that does not ensure or keep us from becoming a denominational organization in the sight of God. Now, I'm not saying you aren't doing good things or doing good works, because there are many organizational, denominational church systems that are doing good works. Hello? some of those organizational denominational systems put us to shame. Hallelujah. And therein is part of the problem. Hallelujah. Now, what they are doing, they have the intent of doing it because they want to do good, but they also are wanting to facilitate their operation in the thing that they are doing. Hallelujah. They want it to expand so they can do more good works. But the problem is, the good works they are doing, as good as they are not fixing the problem.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Sin is increasing. Darkness is increasing. Wickedness is growing and expanding. Hallelujah. The church is not fixing the problem. And the word we have, the word that we have received, the word that talks about sonship and the position of ruling and reigning, the word that talks about the Melchizedek priesthood, all of that vernacular that explains the operation of what we call the tabernacle. Hello? And there was only one reason God saved you or I or any human being on the face of the earth from the time that He created the earth. One reason alone, in that He wanted to make man like unto Himself. That's the only reason. Hello? Man and us are also guilty of taking the revelation, taking the idea, taking the thought, and building a church. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, we have not done as good a job as some of those denominational organizations have done. Hello? You know, I have been back and forth across the world so many times, I don't even know how many times I've been there. Hallelujah. And I kind of shredder every time I have to get on an airplane to go someplace else. Hello? Are you there? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Are you hearing what the Spirit is saying to you this evening? Hallelujah. Because quite frankly, I don't know that God is necessarily pleased with our position of how we have handled the word that He has given us. Hallelujah. And this dream that Sister Lucy had is a rebuke. Isn't it? She was rebuked for working out a systematic way by which, now she's representative of the church. It's not something personal to her as an individual. Please don't put her in that place. Hallelujah. Because she dreamed a dream doesn't mean that we stone the dreamer. Hallelujah. Which we are guilty of doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is in His mercy and His love. Because you know what? God wants you and I to make it.
Yes.
He's not vindictive. He's not retaliatory. He's not vengeful. He's not hurt and moving in some kind of anger or condemnation toward us. He wants us to make it.
Amen.
He wants you to make it.
Yes.
And He wants you and you and He wants you and He wants you and you and you. He wants you to make it.
Hallelujah.
And the fact that you have heard the word and have stirred something in your soul means that God wants you to make it.
Amen.
It not only means that God wants you to make it, it means that God has given you something in the word. Do you hear me, dear? That has the ability to make you rise up out of the midst of degradation and death and step on every dumb devil that wants to bring you down into desolation and damnation. Loose! Loose! Hallelujah. You know, I have children. I got a lot of children. Hallelujah. I got a lot of children. My lap isn't big enough. My arms aren't long enough. Hallelujah. To hold them all. Hallelujah. And there's one thing that I know about children. They need to be disciplined because I love them. I love them. Hallelujah. I see one doing something sneaky and I get over there and I pull his ear. Huh? See another one doing something and I flip him. Huh? All right, grab one, and out the door we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Why do I do that? Because I love them. Because I love them, I love them, I love this little thing to death. Hallelujah. And I love her so much, I'm willing to spank her.
Amen.
If the spanking is going to bring about the desired result. And you know something? They don't hate me.
Amen.
They don't hate me.
Amen.
They love me. When they see me, some of them do. They put their arms out there and they say, Papa. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was in someplace else in the world. And I was in somebody else's home. And of course the people there, I know them. I've been fellowshipping with them and they love me and I love them. And some of them call me dad and father or dad or something. Huh? Brother Bert. Hallelujah. Well, the mother went out. They were feeding me breakfast, and the little child was sitting there in their little chair. Hallelujah. And he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. Hallelujah. And I look over my shoulder to see if I can find Mom. Mom's not there. And so I say to the child, you know, you shouldn't do that. And the child paid no attention to me. I said, well, that isn't acceptable. So I go over there and I say to him, don't do it. And he kind of jerked back a little bit and then he flipped something off his spoon at me. Now, I could have said, oh, sweetie, you didn't mean to do that. Do you think I did that, Brother Joe? No?
Oh, no.
I came out of my chair like there was a spring-loaded thing in the seat. And I'm sitting across the table. Now, I don't know if I jumped across the table or what. I'm right there in front of him. I grab him by his lapels, pull him up out of the chair. And I says, if you ever do that again, you and I will go to the witch shack. Do you understand me? Hello, Cor. I set him back down in his chair, went over and sat down in my seat. You know that young man? He's now 5, 6, or 7 years of age, and he treats me with the utmost respect. And he sees me coming, he'll run up to me, and he'll grab my leg, and he says, Brother Bert, I'm so glad to see you.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
God loves you and I. If we love each other, or we love our children in such a way, or such a manner, and that we do these things to in love to them so that they will turn out okay, how much more does God love us? In fact, the Bible says if God chasten us, then we should rejoice. Because God chastened us as sons. Now, God doesn't come and yank us out of our high chair. Oh, maybe he does. Huh? But he allows your situations, your circumstances to oppress you, to whip you, to knock you around. Hallelujah. To try to knock some kind of sense into my hard-headed, wood-thinking soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thank God for the mercy of God that he will discipline me. You know, the fact of the matter is, I am a person who needs to be disciplined. Hallelujah. I'm not like Paul. Paul had the will to bring his flesh into a place of subjection, maybe without the external, but his life was so tough, so rough, that it must have been working something of the discipline within his soul. Hallelujah. So much so that he would pray for his persecutors. And the last time you were persecuted, how much did you pray? God kill them? Hello? How could they do that to me? How could they think that? How could they act that way? Why would they say that? Why are they doing this to me? God, vindicate me. Hallelujah. God, vindicate me. Let everybody know I'm right and they're wrong. Oh, God, help me. Hallelujah. Every time I pray like that, I get more fire. I get more fire. Do you hear? More fire down on my soul. Hallelujah. I'm learning not to pray that way. I'm learning to overcome something in my soul that wants to be vindicated. Did you hear me? I'm going to overcome something that wants in my soul that wants to be justified in the sight of men. Do you hear me? I'm learning something about overcoming and being right all the time and proven be right. Let me be proved wrong, even if I'm right. And be able to have the attitude that is like unto God. God forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. Hallelujah. Boy, I got a long ways to go. I say, God, forgive them. They know what they're doing, but forgive them anyway. Of course, you don't do that, do you? Huh? Oh, yes, you do. Hallelujah. I'm going to be real Christian about this, God. I'm going to be real righteous. I'm right, they're wrong, but God bless them anyway. Man, you know, if that's the closest I can get, if that's the closest you can get, then praise God. But it's so far below. Because, brethren, my life is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Did you hear me? My life is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not 30 years of age anymore. I'm not 40. I'm not 50. My life is getting shorter and I've wasted so much of it on futility and thoughts that are non-productive, that do not bring forth the image of Christ within me, that Christ might be able to minister to you. In spite of my humanity. Listen. Hallelujah. All of it is in the realm of the message that we have been brought. Hallelujah. We've taken our eyes off of the objective. We're like the woman in Isaiah who has come to the time of travail, who has come to the time of birthing. And we do not have the strength to bear, to bring forth, or to push the child out from within our being. Hallelujah. All right. I want to give you some scripture. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians. It said, verse 24 of chapter 9. Know ye not that which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? It's a question. It's a rhetorical question, because you know the answer. Hallelujah. So run ye that ye may obtain. Brethren, first thing to obtain, one must run. Run isn't what I can do from here to my car and how fast I make it. It is the perseverance and the determination that I have in the midst of everything that is absolutely negative, everything that is absolutely out of quack with what I believe, everything that is out of whack with what I think and feel, and that I push through and not lose my concept or my focus upon the reality of a living God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. If a man can resist me and call me and curse me and bring me into a place of desolation, how much more can a man who points a gun at my head, loaded with a .45 caliber bullet, and I know he's going to pull the trigger if I don't recant? You think I'm going to have the strength to recant? I'm not. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have the strength to do it. Hallelujah. I have to build my immunity. You know how they get immunity? Brother Jokes, you tell me if I'm wrong. Our sister Lucy. You know, she's a doctor, you know. We've got a lot of these doctors. Huh? Hallelujah. They infect you with a disease so that you can build an immunity to it, don't they? They take the thing and inject you with the virus that they're trying to protect you from. Hallelujah. And your body begins to work and to build itself so that it recognizes the disease that is coming into your body, and it begins to fortify itself against it, and it begins to bring its armor that's up and its mechanics or whatever it does when this thing comes in, so that when it comes in, it's ready for it. Hallelujah. That is what tribulation, that is what trouble, unjust tribulation, unjust trouble. Did you hear me? Unjust, uncalled for, trouble. What good does it do if you are persecuted for what you do if that is right? Not persecuted, do whatever it is. Huh? What good does it do if they persecute you for doing something wrong? That's what I wanted to say. Huh? If you're persecuted for doing something wrong, it's not persecution, it's correction. Yes. Amen. There's a difference between being persecuted and correction. Correction deals with sin. Correction deals with the sin nature. Hallelujah. Correction deals with brings you to a place of repentance. Come on, Brother Rand. You think because you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you now have a guarantee of heaven, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you think that you now through with repentance?
No.
Oh my God, you just started. You just started. You see, salvation is just like a scratch on the surface. It's just a little scratch, little mark. Huh? God hasn't really started digging yet. He hasn't come out with what they call the hi-hole. You ever seen it? You know, I look at this heavy-duty equipment. My God. And I don't see a construction site. I see God. Huh? They have this big hi-hole. You know what a hi-hole is? A big thing with wheels on it, big track layers on it. It sticks way up there, and it's got this big long arm that goes up and is bent, and it's got this big bucket. Well, sometimes they put a hammer, a spike on it. Huh? And you know what they use it for? Huh? Hard hearts. Hard hearts. God uses it for hard hearts. Huh? And sometimes, you know where they use that thing sometimes? Huh? They take it and they run it into the bush. It's got this big track and it just runs over trees and brush and everything. Gets to where it wants. And there's this big rock and that thing comes down there and goes, pop, 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 pop. Huh? And everything that goes bop, your soul goes, boom, boom. Hallelujah. Cracking the rock that is your hard, hard, hard heart. Hallelujah. You know, I was born and raised in California. And we have what we call the Sierra Nevada. Isn't that right, Sierra Nevada? Isn't that what that runs along there? And we would go up to the mountains sometimes. Thank you. We would go up to the mountains sometimes. And if you keep driving and you go up and you go up and you go up and you go up, you go up above the tree line. Peter, did you ever go up above the tree line there in California? Do you ever see the massive monoliths and sheer granite rock mountains? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know pride is like that. Do you know pride is like that? And every one of you have to deal with pride. Every one of you. Every one of us. I'm sorry, I'm not excluding you. Please don't think that I am. I mean, excluding me. You still love me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every one of us are having to deal with the pride of life. Hello? You know, this wasn't all what I was going to talk to you about tonight. Hallelujah. It's like when you go on your internet and look up the Rocky Mountains. What do you think they call them Rocky Mountains for? Huh? Rocky Hearts. Some of us have mountain ranges. Huh? They have one in Yosemite they call El Capitan. The captain. The captain of all Rocky Hearts. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there's so many things in my life that God has had me involved in that reveal to me my position, my condition, and my need for Him. Hallelujah. There was one time in California when I was driving about 90 miles a day, 90 miles one way a day to go to work. I would come from the Central Valley and drive up to Concord. It's a little silly just across the bay from San Francisco near Oakland. And I'd drive there every day. And every day I would drive through a place called Diablo's Canyon. Hallelujah. That's where God gave me a song, you know. As I was driving through that canyon and as I was looking at that brush and all of that destruction and all the desolation of it and understanding the reality of Diablo's Canyon as being the position of place in my heart and in my life. Hallelujah. A canyon where Diablo's hideout. Oh boy. Hallelujah. You know, it says to whom much is forgiven, he can be the happiest man around. That's Bert chapter 2. Hallelujah. He gave me a song called The Incorruptible Seed.
Hallelujah.
Do you hear me? And I would drive one way, he'd give me one verse, one line. I would drive back the other way, he'd give me another line. And I got to where, you know, I wonder what the line is going to be today. And every line he was giving me was instructions, was a finger of God that was working on the inside of my soul, pinpointing my position of weakness, pinpointing my position of flesh, and my total inability to be godly in any way or any fashion, inside or outside. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this verse. 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that they that which run in a race run all. Hallelujah. You know, this is my interpretation. I don't have the slightest idea. I haven't looked it up. So please forgive me, Mark. Hallelujah. It says run all. That means that they run it with all that they got. They run it with every bit of strength and energy and every bit of vitality that is in them. Hallelujah. And when they hit the dirt because they can't run anymore, they're crawling. Devil comes to you and hits you. Down you go into the dirt. Now you have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. Do you hear me? You have a decision to make. You can sit down there and wallow in it. You can commiserate with the devil. Hallelujah. Or you can begin to say, I can do all things in Christ which strengtheneth me. Devil, you're a liar. Hallelujah. You are an absolute liar. You shall not prevail. You shall not come to a place of success in your determination to give me, to make me commit suicide. I'm not talking about bullying my brains out. I'm talking about spiritual suicide. Giving up. You know, I can blame this person or that person or this person, you know, and I blame you. I give up. I give up. When I start blaming you, I give up. When I start blaming my circumstances, I give up. I'm not fighting the darkness that is inside of me. My enemy is not you, not you, not you, not you. My enemy is the darkness that is inside of me. Yes. And believe you me, God knows, a devil knows what my darkness is. Devil knows what my darkness is. You know, there are things in my family that my family have never overcame. They have submitted themselves to certain spirits. They have submitted themselves to certain actions. They have participated with that devil. Hallelujah. And the claim of the devil came upon them and upon me in the lineage that comes out of me. And I come, God brings me a word. And says, I can break the chain. I can break the chain. I can cut, I can sever the cord. I can settle the debt. Do you hear me? I can settle the debt. But I have to contend with that devil. And there's something on my soul that is a darkness because of that devil. And that devil comes and he pushes that button. Pushes that button. And, you know, I have to tell the dog, it's broke. It don't work anymore. I said it don't work anymore. Will you quit pushing that button? Hallelujah. You know, there have been times and I've been so absolutely, totally down. And it's not something that has been long time back. Hallelujah. There have been situations and circumstances of having to contend with the devil of darkness that is inside of me. Loose! Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Either that or oh me or oh my God. Hallelujah. Or just a good old-fashioned groan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But one receiveth the prize. Does anybody here run a race because they don't want to receive a prize? Some of you buy lottery tickets. Huh? You do. Some of you buy lottery tickets. Why you buy them? Huh? Well, you need to repent, but why do you buy them? It's gambling.
by him. You want to win. Oh, and you can, I know what you say. Oh, I get all that money. I just help the church and help the mission field. It's poppycock. Did you hear me? It's baloney. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the devil knows your darkness. The devil knows your darkness. He knows your and my darkness. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, there are some things in my life that I have overcome. But there are some things in my life I cannot even think about. I cannot even dwell upon them. If I meet them or confront them, I have to just push them like so much trash out of the way. Hallelujah. Because I know my flesh. I know my flesh. Hello? Hallelujah. And so run that ye may obtain. That means you have the strength. That means you have the wherewithal. That means you have the ability to do it. How many of you here are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you have the entirety of God inside of you? Do you know that? Do you know what I mean by the entirety of God? Omniscience. You know, you can know everything. God's inside of you. You can know everything. Well, some of us think we already know everything. Hallelujah. Omnipresent. You can be in more than one place at the same time. Huh? What's the other one? All powerful? Huh? Omnipotent. You have omnipotent. How is it that these beggarly elements out here have the power to persuade you to do something that is wrong? If you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the totality of God in your being. The whole entirety. And he's all, Paul's up there in the midst of all of yours and my darkness. Can you imagine a God submitting to pornography? My God. Can you imagine that? And yet God, inside of you, when you look at pornography, or you look at a billboard, or you look at this, or you look at some cantily cat person, hello? Hallelujah. What happens to your brain? Huh? What happens to your brain? All of a sudden, bing, off he goes on a rabbit chase. Oh, don't tell me you're above it. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you have overcome it. Maybe somebody here has, but the majority of us are still dealing with the basis of that low position of sin. Hallelujah. If we are, according to Brother Tijoki, still at the brazen altar, that means we have not even fulfilled the functions of the brazen laver, which is sanctification and consecration. I was recently in some meetings with some people who have had this word for a number of years, and God was chastising them, hallelujah, for their position in that they were supposed to be at the fifth station in the Holy of Holies, and they had not even cleared the brazen laver yet. How much more for you and I? Yeah. In the position or the place that we are in, the remedy, my brother, my sister, the remedy is not that God wants to condemn you so you can wallow in your misery of failure and defeat. He wants you to wake up and to shake yourself from the death. He wants you to wake up. Shake yourself like a dog that comes out of the water. You ever watch them? I like to watch horses do that. They're so much bigger, and every body of their body shakes. And it doesn't do it all at the same time. It kind of ripples down the back and down the legs, and the tail finally flicks. Hallelujah. shake yourself. That shaking is of the imminent movement that requires an earth-rattling, earth-shaking, earth-quaking experience to bring you out and me out of that position of lethargy, that position of bondage. Mine. Your mind is set on a certain thing. Your mind is set in a certain way. Your mind is set upon a certain objective. Oh, yes, you got God in there too. But God knows something. God knows that if you don't love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and you know what? God knows you can't love Him that way. But you have something inside of you that can alter the situation of your impossibilities. You have the Almighty God. I want to tell you something, young people. Doesn't matter how disenchanted you are with the message is still true. You're not young people anymore. You are babies. You're not babies anymore. You're not even young adults. You're adults. Some of you, my children anyway, are middle-aged. That's not young. I tell them, you're over the hill. Time to start thinking eternity. Time to start thinking resurrection. When you hit 30, boy, you're on the skids. The only thing that's going to stop you is your focus on eternity. I'm not getting older, I'm getting younger. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, the thing about Brother Dusail, up until a year or two before he passed, we would go out on the mission field. He was 20, 25 years older than us, some of us 30 years. He would run us into the dirt. Preach all day. Preach all night. Deliverance. All night prayer meeting. Hallelujah. And in the morning call for another meeting. And we're looking at him rolling and I says, are you crazy? We need bed. I told him the only thing I wanted to overcome was my pillow. You remember those times? Hallelujah. There's something about the message of eternity that you are hearing. This is not a temporal time play, table frame message. This is not something that's dealing with this short position of time. It's dealing with eternity. And let me tell you something. Enoch proved the reality that eternity could be pulled down into mortality. He proved the point. He proved it. Do you hear? It took him 365 years to do it, but he did it. Hallelujah. Because God knew that if he gave him 400 years and he didn't make it, he would never make it. Hallelujah. But he gave you something that he didn't have. You got the blood there. You got the Holy Spirit there. You got the totality of God already inside of you. Hallelujah. What is a little depression? What is a little frustration? What is a little tribulation and trouble? What is a little sickness in the body? If you got God inside of you, who is eternity and resurrection. Hallelujah. The only reason that we are suffering and using doctors, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, is because we do not believe what we got inside of us. We don't believe it. And that doesn't mean that you make up the belief and begin to say, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, you drop dead. And then somebody will turn around and blame me. Hallelujah. You know, God has brought men in our... You have heard testimonies. Brother Groover came to us for one reason. Well, it was more than one reason, but one of the main reasons that he came to us is to demonstrate the reality of flesh and blood to overcome impossible obstacles. Mental, physical, and geographically or mechanical, in an environmental position. That man is a walking miracle. Everything about his family is a walking, talking miracle. Why would God bring that man into our midst? Why? To convict us, to show us the reality of what it is that we have. You know what his testimony, he says, I have never met people like you. That's what Brother Groover said. Well, we can say, well, we never met anybody like you either. God brought him here. He had testified. He brought, and you know what? He gets up. He gets up and he begins to testify. Do you remember what he said in Florida? He says, why am I telling you people all of this stuff? He was telling us about his personal life. Why? Because there was a Spirit of God in the midst of the congregation that was reaching out to the man. And the Spirit of God in the man was responding. Hallelujah. 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 You know, some people said they don't believe him. You think he made it all up. Give me a break. Give me a break. Hallelujah. What does the man have to do? Show you his scars? Yeah. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. And it's not a matter of waiting till it happens to try to demonstrate the reality that you can overcome it. It is beginning right now, right this minute, right where you're sitting, in the realization that you need so much more of God that you do not have. And that you are willing. You are willing. Some of you will walk right out of this door. You're going to walk right out of this door. Nothing will change because you're not even willing to try to believe that it's entirely in the essence of God and the word that is coming to you is God. And you know, that includes, I am including myself. Do you understand me? I am not up here. Get down real quick. I am not up there preaching down to you. A man who preaches always preaches up here. Yeah. He's up here. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know I have to go back and listen to the tapes to understand what I said. And now sometimes I say, Nancy, I'm in big trouble. I'm so sorry. I said this and I don't believe I said it, but I said it. And I said, that means if I said it, God's going to fix it because I don't do it. He's going to start the wheels rolling. He's going to start the grinder grinding. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a rich young ruler. That rich young ruler is you and I. The parable of the rich young ruler is you and I. It's you and I. We have been walking and talking with Jesus for 3.5 years. Hello? Do you hear me? You just thought you were coming to the fellowship meeting at Dubuque Hall, right? Coming down for another prayer meeting, coming down for another good Pentecostal hold down. Huh? Coming down to jive a little bit in the spirit. Huh? Hallelujah. And some of you even got tired of doing that. You don't even come down to jive anymore. You just put your earphones in and you jive to that. We need to repent. Brethren, do you hear me? My soul escaped. That song's for you and I. But the problem is, the snare is not behind us. It's still in front of us. Some of us are right in the midst of it. And the jaws of the thing are ready to snap. Hallelujah. And you are the bird that it wants. You're the eagle. You're the eagle that it wants. Wants to destroy you any way, anyhow, any manner that it can destroy. Because there is darkness in your soul. There's darkness in the people around you. You know the devil has no compunction to use parents against children, children against parents, children against children. It has no thought of morality, no aspect of compassion. The devil is compassionless, and there is a darkness inside of me that gives him the power to be that man. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Well, there are some things that I am certainly not temperate in. Do you know what temperate means? It means to use our sparingly. Let me put it into context. You're out in the middle of a desert. It's 180 degrees in the shade. And you have yet 90 miles to walk. And you have one little pint of water. How are you going to utilize that water? You go, gloop. Huh? Are you just going to sip, walk, 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 sip, walk, 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 sip, walk, 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 walk? Huh? You're going to use it sparingly. Almost not at all. Hallelujah. He is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. This mortality shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. And I don't have to wait until I die. Amen. I don't believe it. I want to tell you something. As bad as I may be in my sight, I am not as bad as I used to be. Do you hear me? I am not as hard-hearted as I used to be. I'm not as angry as I used to be. I'm not as non-temperate as I used to be. I am not looking with my eyes and my ears like I used to look with my eyes and my ears. Hello? Hallelujah. That means I am overcoming the devil. And I am overcoming the darkness that is inside of me. Loose! Hallelujah. And the more that I walk with God, the more that I talk with God, the more that I fellowship with God in my mind, in my emotions, in my desires, the more my mind, my emotions, my desires become like God. I cannot dwell in the presence of God without God infiltrating the corruptibleness of my soul and working their incorruptibility in me so that when he looks in there, it's pure. Oh, yeah. Loose! Oh, yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Do you know that God is opening other avenues to other people? There was a word that God spoke to me. Was it this year, beginning of this year? Or was it last year? He said, Brother Bert. Funny, sometimes he calls me Brother Bert. He said, Brother Bert, I want you to go after the young people. I want you to go after the children. Hallelujah. I had to go down into prayer. And I had to begin to fast. And I was talking with Nancy and we were praying. And we were interceding. And I say, Father, you know I do love children. But I have to love children more than I love my children. And you know, I love my children. I love my grandbabies. They're not babies anymore. Pardon me. But I love them. And I miss them when I'm not around them. And when I'm around them, I just want them all over me. I want them crawling on me, hugging on me, kissing on me, patting on me, rubbing on me. I just want them all around me. But I understand that if I'm to do what God wants me to do, I have to love these other children that God wants me to get as much, if not more, than them. And it doesn't mean that I love them less. Please do not misunderstand me, children. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm a strange character. I don't know. But I believe in my loving of those children will provide a release for my children. It will make an avenue of release for my children. It will bring resurrection to my grandchildren. It will cause my grandchildren to rise up into God and to begin to move toward God with the same desire. Hallelujah! And you know what God did for us? Hallelujah. He opened a door so wide that if it was a hole, we would have fallen into it. Hallelujah. We met these people who have a very large orphanage. Hallelujah. And they love the word that we are bringing. Brethren, I can't tell you how it was such a divine appointment of God. Hallelujah. I'm sitting in the living room in this place in Africa. And I'm talking to my friend who lives there and who is a part of that country. And I said to him, friend, praise the Lord, I want to go to this particular orphanage and I want to minister to these children. Do you think you can get me in? Well, brother, he takes up his phone. Hallelujah, I love it. No pausing, no thinking, no I have to go pray about it. He just picks up his phone, beep, 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 talks to a man. He says to me, why do you want to come? And I said to him, I said, I want to go and I want to tell them about the reality of a living God and that that living God wants a relationship with them and wants to manifest themselves to them in such a real and living way that they will never, ever forget it. Amen. Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. He told the man verbatim what I told him. Hallelujah. And the man, he says, you can come. Hallelujah. We walked into that man's office and he began to set us down and he wanted to talk to us a little bit. He didn't want to ask me what I believe. Can you believe that? He didn't say, well, what is your doctrine? What is it that you want to teach these children? What is it out of the scriptures that you believe? He didn't ask me any of that. Hallelujah. He said, do you know why I've called you? I said, I suppose it's because we called you and that we asked to come. He says, yes, but there's another reason. Hallelujah. He said, just the day before, the young people, the young leaders of the children came to him and said verbatim what I had told the man on the phone to tell him. Hallelujah. My God.
Hallelujah.
You're sitting down. You should be shouting.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 350 to 375 young people from ages babies up to 18. Given a wide open door. Praise the Lord. We went in. I had two meetings. We had 2 days left in that place. We had two meetings. He comes to me after the end of the last meeting. He says, brother, when you come back, you must contact me. We want you to come back here.
Amen.
You were there. Did you minister there? You did. Hallelujah. Not the second time. Hallelujah. Well, you have your opportunities next time. Open door. Hungry hearts. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hungry hearts. I'm standing in the midst of 125 children. There may have been even more. I was counting chairs, you know. I got that from a friend of mine. Counting chairs, and then you count a rows, and you say, oh, there must be. Of course, he's a lot better at it than I am. I go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Some of you caught it, huh? And I'm so aware of the divine intervention in God. I'm looking at these children, all different ages. All different ages. I'm looking at them. And they're a drop in the bucket compared to the children that are out on the street.
Yeah.
Dying, starving to death. It's pitiful. Why did God pick this one out of a situation, and this one out of a situation, and this one, and that one, and the next one to him didn't get picked? Why? Because God knew that there was coming an opportunity for that person, that child, to hear this word. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. This word of perfection, this word of overcoming, this word of being a son.
Hallelujah.
And he knew that in those children, there would be a response, and those children would in turn go out and begin to invade the community around them. We run a race to obtain an incorruptible crown. We are corrupting the crown. I am very, you know, I hope you have the stamina. I'm going to hold you a little longer. I might not get another chance. I'm reminded of the story that Brother Duciel told about a minister who had a calling and an election upon his life. But the man had a besetting sin. And he would not work against it. He would not try to overcome it. He committed it and did 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 it. And God had showed Brother Duciel a vision of his crown, how it was degenerating. From a crown of pearls and the most elaborate and beautiful thing that you could think of, down, lesser value, until he was coming down to a wood crown. And then that was even taken away from him, and he was given a clay crown. And he says, I will even take that. But the man never repented. He never even got that. We are spending our inheritance. We're like the prodigal son. That is the holy place, church. And as a malady that is in, we're expending our inheritance. Hallelujah. Oh, he finds a place. He finds a place in the Father's house. Praise God. He has a ring. Praise God. He's accepted in the Father's house. But he's not in the shoes of the first son. Do you hear me? You are supposed to be a joint heir with Christ. Joint heir means you share with God equally what God gives to Christ, God gives to you. Joint heirs. Loose. Hallelujah. Do you know that God looks at your lack of diligence, looks at our lack of diligence, please. My lack of diligence, let's put it that way. He doesn't look at it at the same as, oh, that's not so bad. I mean, everybody's human and they make these little mistakes. God does not look at me that way. God says you are squandering your inheritance on riotous living. You know, if I set my affections upon anything other than God, that I am violating the first commandment. And I'm not saying that we are not to love one another, but I cannot love you the way I need to love you if I do not love God more than you. If I love God more than you, I will love you like God loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rich young ruler, come to Jesus Christ. These are all parables of the Holy Place Church, Brother Ron. It is indicative of you and I. It is indicative of the place that we are in. And it's indicative of the sin that we are committing because of what has been committed into our hand and what we are not doing with it. Hallelujah. In the dream. Hallelujah. They did not want to go outside of their comfort zone. Do you know we have comfort zones? You can call me up to about 10:30, but after that I turn my phone off. You know, Brother DeFil would never shut his phone off. Never. I said to him one day, Brother DeFil, you would sleep a little longer maybe. In the morning, if you shut your phone off, you wouldn't have somebody calling you at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He says, oh, brother, I cannot do that. There may be somebody that I can pray for. There may be some word of counsel that I can give. There may be somebody's life that I can save. Hallelujah. If a man says, go with me a mile, you go with him a mile and he says, go with me seven. Are you willing to do it? If you have a coat and he wants your coat, are you willing to give it? Hallelujah. No, no, we're give up to a point. Now, I'm not saying that you give indiscretionately. I'm saying you give on the basis of your position of relationship with a living God. And if the living God says give, you give. But you have to have a relationship. It's not a 5-minute prayer in the morning, a 10-minute prayer at night, or an hour prayer, or an hour and a half. Sometimes you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Instead of grumbling and rolling over and going back to sleep, God wants you out of the bed, into the living room and down on the floor, interceding about the spirits that are walking back and forth through your environment, sowing their seeds of destruction. Hallelujah! We have been called to be sons. Amen. Jesus at 12 years old understood the consequences of not being the son. Said to his parents, I must be about my father's business. Hallelujah. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Hallelujah. He's not, there's no doubt in his mind. There's no position of hesitation. Hallelujah. You know that. I have a friend, and I can say to him, friend, I want you to come with me and go. And he says, okay. Don't ask me where I'm going. Hallelujah. Don't ask me how long I'm going to be there. He just says, okay, come. He says, okay, let's go. Hallelujah. I therefore run not as one uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body. Now, why do you think he goes into this body thing after he says he's not one that fighteth or one that is beating the air? Huh? Hallelujah. Because it's his body. It's his soul. It's his disposition of humanity that he is at war with. I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that I might be any means, when I have preached to others, I find myself should be a castaway. You know, some of us who have been in this word for a long time, this is a word of admonition, and it can be a word of rebuke to us. We're not above being rebuked or chastened as far as the position or our place of responsibility is concerned. And you know something? We that are senior ministry, senior doctors, huh? Hallelujah. Wanting to arrange things on our own terms. You know, when I got off the plane one time, in a different country, and as I was coming down the jetway, man sitting there with an AK-47. Hallelujah. It's the jetway is kind of semi-dark. They got one cloud bulb down at the end, and he happens to be standing there. Hallelujah. Walking by, and he says, "Hey, you, come. I'm the only one standing there. So he must be talking to me. Now, listen to me. I'm an American. I got an American passport. Stamped by the U.S. government. What is this? Hey, you, come. I'm in a car. Driving kind of through a dark area, we get stopped by a militia people. Again, AK-47s. Huh? They want to see our passports. We show them our passports. They look at my passport and says, "You're a sailor." I said, "I'm not a sailor. I just got off an airplane. That's my passport. It's got a visa in it. It's stamped. It's a U.S. passport." He said, no, you're a sailor. Come, out of the car. Hallelujah. We have no idea. You know, the one good thing was that Brother Dusile was in the back seat. They hustle us all out of the car. And then they tell Brother Dusile, "Come out of the car." Brother Dusile gets out of the car. You know, he's tall. And he's got that white hair. And he's got this white suit on. You know, like the button thing and all white. And the man looks at him and he says to the man, he says to brother, he says, "Oh, Papa, you're old." "Oh, yeah. You think I mind my hair getting a little gray?" He says, "Oh, Papa, you're old." He says, "Are you with them?" Brother Dusil, by the divine inspiration of God, says, "No, they are with me." He says, "Oh, Papa, you get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car." Hallelujah. We have no idea. You go home. You might leave the keys in your car. You might leave the door unlocked. You have no idea. But all of that is changing. Yes. Brother, it is changing. Yes. Hallelujah. Paul said, "I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We have to be ever so diligent. We have to be ever so careful. We have to be ever so fearful of God concerning the issue of our position and our right of inheritance. And that we are not guilty at the end of the day coming up with a ring and a robe. You've been called for something greater than that. The message you got is so much tremendously greater than that. I hope that we can be worthy of it. God bless you. God bless you.